Hello again, and welcome to the program that helps you improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We come to you every day on the radio and in a podcast to tell you about interesting and important events that are happening around the world. We usually have something for everyone. It may be about science news or the latest medicine to fight HIV/AIDS. Sometimes the stories are about important news items that are happening right now. That's how we will start today's program. We travel first to Africa to hear more about the fight against Boko Haram. The terrorists have been crossing the border from Nigeria into Cameroon to steal food for their fighters. Jill Robbins says it is a dangerous situation for farmers who refuse to cooperate with Boko Haram.
On Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria, reports say Boko Haram fighters have been stealing food and animals from farmers for the past few weeks. Most of the food producers are now moving to safer areas away from the border. Mijiyawa Bakari is governor of the far north region. He said the armed men carry out raids in small groups. He said they steal cows, food, and money from Cameroonians living along the border with Nigeria's Borno state. Mr. Bakari said the border between Cameroon and Nigeria is long, and there are few border guards. He said this makes it easy for the militants to attack crop farmers, cattle farmers, and small businesses. They can quickly cross back into Nigeria after an attack. Sally Dairu is a member of the National Assembly from northern Cameroon. He told VOA that the militants have killed some of the farmers who refused to cooperate with them. There have been fewer major Boko Haram attacks in Cameroon during the last 2 months. The governor said the decrease suggests that the group has problems. Mr. Bakari said he thinks the new coalition military force of troops from Cameroon, Chad, and Nigeria may be weakening Boko Haram. Mr. Bakari said he is very sure that this force will stop Boko Haram soon. He said he believes everyone can see that the end of the militant group is near. I'm Jill Robbins.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. The new United States Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, is on a week-long trip to the Asia-Pacific area. He aims to support allies, Japan and Korea, while restating the U.S. commitment to the so-called Asia-Pacific rebalance. It is a complicated issue, and Katie Weaver joins us to help us understand.
That policy seeks to place more political and military power to a fast-growing area. The U.S. and China are competing for influence among Asian nations. But Ashton Carter says that does not mean they are enemies.
U.S. and China are not allies, but we don't have to be adversaries.
Sheila Smith is the writer of the new book, Intimate Rivals, Japan's domestic politics in a rising China. She says the Japanese and U.S. governments are seeking new guidelines on defense cooperation. She says Japan will want to center those guidelines on China's increased power. But she says the U.S. also has been watching China as it demonstrates its growing military power. She notes that the U.S. has 50,000 American troops on the ground in Japan. Tensions between Japan and China have grown as the two argue over disputed islands in the East China Sea. Tensions over issues from World War II have also affected relations between the countries in recent years. Defense officials say the new U.S.-Japan defense guidelines will include cooperation on space and cybersecurity. Writer Sheila Smith says the guidelines work well with the Japanese government's proposed new understanding of the country's constitution. That document has historically been understood as a rejection of the use of Japanese military action, except in direct defense of the country.
And that had been extended, had been interpreted to say we can't even use force to help the United States as it's helping us.
The new understanding would approve of collective self-defense. This would permit Japan to act in alliance with the U.S. in the Pacific. But wider military possibilities for Japan could raise concern for another U.S. ally, South Korea. Ms. Smith says she believes Secretary Carter will make clear that the U.S.-Japan alliance is about the defense of Japan and will not interfere with the Korean Peninsula. Mr. Carter gave a speech before he left for the Asia trip. He spoke to students at the University of Arizona about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a trade agreement with 11 other nations. Most of those nations are in Asia. Secretary Carter called on Congress to pass a law that would permit President Obama to sign the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He said the Asia-Pacific will help define America's future. He noted that by 2050, the Asia-Pacific area will hold half of the world's people. He said in just 15 years, more than half the global middle-class population will live there. And he said regional defense spending is on the rise. Mr. Carter told the students that guaranteeing peace, economic health, and progress in the Asia-Pacific area will be their generation's central goal. Secretary Carter said the trade agreement will help increase U.S. exports by a predicted $123 billion in the